Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 3 of Freed Up. So glad that you've been with us on this journey as we learn together and grow together in this area called finance. So if this is your first episode, totally encourage you to go listen to the other ones. But even if it is your first episode, you're going to get something out of this. And the reason for that is because this topic is for everybody, no matter where you are with money, good or bad, happy or sad, you do this. And that is spending. But you know what? To be honest, it sounds like something that everybody loves, but it can actually have quite a bit of stress around it and may not be nearly as much fun as you assume. It can honestly be a mess and carry some baggage. Before we hop into that and with our special guests, let's hear a quick recap from Brian.
Once God blesses us with income, with resources, all of us have the responsibility to be prudent spenders. It's a good thing to have money to spend, but we've got to be doing it wisely. We have to be avoiding materialism, doing things like endlessly upgrading or endlessly getting into yet another hobby and spending more money and more money. There's nothing wrong with spending money when it fits into your spending plan and when you understand that it's God's money and you see that God wants you to enjoy life. There's a beautiful joy that comes with being a prudent spender, but we have to have the wisdom that goes along with it. Does your spending make you more free or less free? Being a prudent spender starts with defining for yourself what your non-negotiables are. What is the constitution that tells you how and when you will spend money?
I'm here with Brooke Bartlow. She's the VP of Communications and Operations for Good Sense. And you know what? I would tell you about that organization, but it's actually not going to be as much fun as Brooke starting us off by telling us what is Good Sense.
Hey, Hannah, I'm glad to be here. Good Sense has been around for over 40 years, and we have worked with churches worldwide to help them learn about finances in the way that God intended us. And Good Sense is a not-for-profit. We're based out of Chicago, and we're excited about what we've created here together with Freed Up.
That's so exciting. I'm looking forward to today's conversation. So you know what? Let's just start at the beginning. So if I'm a spender by nature, so I would say someone who kind of gets a coin and spends that coin pretty immediately, what do I need to do to look at spending differently? And then maybe you talk about what that mindset change even needs to happen. And before that, just tell us, what's the deal with spending? Why can't I just do it as much as I want? Or what's the good and the bad or the happy and the sad around it?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't just for you. This is for everyone. I mean, I'm married to someone who has a hole in their pocket. I don't know about you, but if you get money at Christmas, my husband's the one that spends it right away, and I'm the one that waits until the summer to go, whoa, what am I going to do with that Christmas money? So this happens to everyone, and the reality is there's nothing wrong with spending as long as there's a plan. Because that plan is what helps guard against all the idols that we could create. And quite honestly, there's a lot of traps in our culture today that can pull us in. And so with Freed Up, what we've done is we've created a plan that helps us with spending, right? Anything that we do gives us guardrails. And so with Freed Up, we've created a plan that's a 10-10-80. And so you're like, okay, what is that? So we're going to give 10%. We will save 10%. And then we will live off of 80%. And really, that's how God intended us to create a lifestyle of being a faithful steward, was for us to have these guardrails so that we know what we can play within. And then we have the freedom to do what we so choose in those areas.
You talked about how if there's no plan in place, then spending, which is not inherently bad, can become an idol of some sort. Can you go a little bit deeper in that? Because if I'm a spender by nature, what do I have going on that's just making me spend? And, you know, why is that bad? Talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's a natural materialism trap. I mean, so it's a reality, like the more that I have, the more that I get, the quantity. It doesn't have to be quality, which is something else. You could have a quality of one, something really, really nice, or you have a quantity of a dozen, and there's a feeling of like, well, I earned that. I get to have that. I have something to show for all the hard work that I do. Well, that's awesome. But in the end, what does that prove? Like, what is that good for if it's only for yourself to enjoy and not for others, or maybe even sharing that with someone. It's taking place of something that you could do so differently with the money that you did when you went out for that spending.
That's great. So let's look at the other side of that. If I'm a saver, spending is like anxiety. I have baggage around it. If I'm spending, that means I'm not saving and I'm kind of uptight. How do I learn to relieve that stress and recognize that, you know, saving, even to the point of hoarding, that's from a place of fear and that's not going to bring me life? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, if you remember back in the very beginning of Freed Up, there was a money motivation quiz, right? So we are all wired differently when it comes to money. And it is okay for us to save to the point of making sure that we have the freedom to do things that we want with our money. However, whenever we start to hoard up that money and we start to build those storehouses and we really say, hey, there's a difference in telling our money where it goes and then again, making an idol out of it. And I remember, I really loved when Brian was talking in Freed Up and he referenced Romans 1:25 when we're talking about this. And then he also looked at greed, which is a whole nother thing. You think greed is really not about savings, but in reality, that can be greed. Like, I need to have enough money in my savings so that I can be greedy, whether that's my 401k, my 403b, my stocks, my bond, whatever it is that you're saving, that can be a form of greed. And so we have to really just like look out for that. That can be a super, super strong trap because it's like, those are false foundations. If I step on that and say, man, I feel so good because I have all the savings, whew. What happens in years like 08? What happens in years that I have a pandemic, for crying out loud? Like, what happens when those things go out from underneath you? Like, what do you have to stand on? So it's like, let's reshift our thinking a little bit more.
So how do you shift that thinking? How do you go from this idea of hoarding to where you in your head are like, spending is bad, 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 to no, spending is freedom and part of this journey of financial freedom? How do you switch that?
A phrase that we use around here is like, what is the best use of this next dollar? So if the best use of this next dollar is for me to save it, save it. If the best use of this next dollar is for me to spend, great. If the best use of this next dollar is for me to give, give. Like, think in those three categories. We want to be able to give first, we want to save second, and we want to spend third. And so if it's within those areas, then really, you do have a lot of freedom. We also talked a lot about, I loved whenever you and Kyle sat down and you talked about the categorization. Can you say that word three times fast? Categorization, categorize, prioritize, and manage trade-offs, right?
Categorization.
You did it. Everyone else is like, we don't know. But if you can categorize, you can prioritize, and then you can manage your trade-offs, then you've done a really good job of planning how the money that is coming in is then going back out.
Great point. So speaking of prioritize, I think a big part of understanding how, why, and when to spend is based on defining our non-negotiables. So we talked a little bit about this already, but it would be good to spend some more time on talking about these non-negotiables. To start, let's give us a quick recap of what non-negotiables mean, because maybe they've heard that in the app already. Some of our audience may be ahead, maybe they're behind, and they have no clue what we're talking about. What does it mean to have non-negotiables? How do we do that well? And then to your point about prioritizing our spending, what should we be considering when we're making those?
Yeah, for sure. This is probably one of my favorite activities in the app. So if you have done it, awesome. Pause and really think about what you've done. If you haven't done it, make sure that you make time to do this, because this is an audio experience where I spend some time listening to some prompts and then write and reflect my responses about what really matters to me and what it is that I simply can't live without. What is that that would impact my family, and how would my life be different if I didn't have this? And so we look at lifestyle. What type of house do we want to live in? Does it have to be, what's the square footage? Does it have to be a house, or could it be a condo, or could it be a townhouse? Could it be an apartment? What does that look like? Then look at all your other assets. Look at your car. What about kids? Do they have to go to private school, homeschool, public school? There are trade-offs in each of these scenarios, and we want to make sure that, especially as a family, that a family unit is aligned in these areas. Because a lot of times, like my husband and I are, I mean, man, God wired us so much the same that sometimes we're like, whoo, we're too much the same. But in this area, when it comes to money, we are so different. And so we have to make sure that our non-negotiables are aligned, because otherwise we can really, really get in a spot where either one of us is really ticked off or the other one feels hurt because we haven't aligned what those look like.
That's really, really helpful. So asking yourself some of the important questions, maybe even the hard questions, are going to help us shape some of those non-negotiables. So this is really tricky, to your point about your spouse and you being on a different page. That is, how do we have conversations about non-negotiables well, especially if we don't agree? So I know you are an expert already on this topic, but now you're extra expert because you're dealing with this.
You know, it's really funny is what comes to mind. So my husband and I have been married over a decade now, and we've been friends longer than that. And I remember whenever we were first dating, he got his first tattoo. Okay. And he was like, man, I'm gonna get another one. And I was like, all right, I mean, that's what you want to do. But he decided at the time that he put the design of the tattoo, he put it on his driver's visor in his car. And he said, I've got a 6-month tattoo rule. I'm going to put it up here. I'm going to look at it every day. And if I still like it after 6 months, I'll get the tattoo. And so conversely, he only has one tattoo. But we we actually talk about that. We use that internally. We say, okay, is that our tattoo? Like, if we're going to buy a car, do we look at that and go, hey, let's wait? Our non-negotiables are more about waiting and making sure and affirming that we both agree on that. And if we don't, then we say, you know what, that's really not as specific as a non-negotiable as we're thinking. That's kind of an outlier. Or no, man, that's specific for us. We want that for our kids. So that's not going to change for us. Probably another one, like we, during the pandemic, like everyone got into something, right? Like a hobby of some sort, okay?
Right, right. It was a rebirth of hobbies.
Right. So we were like, hey, people are knitting, people are doing all sorts of stuff. And my husband gets into grilling. Like, I mean, like backyard pit master. Like he is like into stuff. And we're talking burgers. We're talking like whole chickens. We're talking all. our non-negotiable all of a sudden shifted from us being able to go out on a nice dinner date a couple times a month to, no, let's invest in some stuff that's in our backyard. Let's get good tools for our grills. Let's make sure that we have the right equipment. And then, oh my gosh, do you know how many spices are out there you have no idea, for vegetables and for meat and for fish, all these spices. So we start getting into this thing and we go, hey, we can have a better experience at home together with something that we like and we can customize than we can by going out. So we just shifted that. Like, it, you know, what is one of our non-negotiables? Create experiences for our kids at home. So we did that in a new way that we didn't even realize we could be doing. And so it really, it's helped us. Also, I don't have to cook as much, which is awesome.
Well, that's a double whammy. So what's like a tip for someone going into maybe a difficult conversation? I think one of the most common things when it comes to marriage and money, we know that lots of divorces happen because of differences in opinion. So what is a tip for one of our listeners who needs to walk into this conversation with maybe their child or their spouse and have a difficult conversation around, hey, I want to go to a new place in my finances and here's how I want to do it. And I need your help and I need your commitment and here's what that means for you. What's a good tip for somebody walking into that, a practical beginning, maybe middle and end?
So we talked about us being wired differently. We talked in our app about this, someone's usually a woe in the relationship and someone's a go in the relationship. Woe being like, it could be a pause or it could be a stop. I don't even want to talk about it. And then someone else is a go, like I'm spontaneous. It's whatever. We're fine. So I think helping to identify oneself and not projecting on someone else what they might be. And then saying, hey, I'm looking at this as a plan. I think a lot of times people show up. So if I show up with my husband and I say, hey, we have a new budget, he's going to go, oh, I feel trapped. I don't want to talk. But if I come up and I say, hey, I have an idea or a plan, or he comes and says, hey, I have a plan for how we want to be able to give away some of our money. Like we talked about spending in a way. Let's talk about, we want to give away some of our money. Well, then I'm going to say, well, I don't know. And he's going to say, no, but I feel like, you know, this is something we're supposed to do, or, you know, God's asking us to do this. And I'm going to listen a little bit more intently. So I think first, just identifying which one you are And then allowing the other person to say, would you be more spontaneous or would you be more cautious? And I think giving that, like, pausing too, right? Like, we jump into those things and they can become very heated. Let's just pause and let's talk a little bit more, right? And it is, there's never one, and I will say this, one is not better than the other. Like, don't elevate yourself. I will not elevate myself because I'm one, a woe, and he will not elevate himself because he's a go. That is a really tough place for us to be.
That's really helpful. So, speaking of practical tools and getting, let's get a little bit more practical with in terms of spending. What have you seen that works to help people develop a spending plan well? So apps, sites, accountability, what is that? Talk to our audience a little bit.
Yeah, I think that, you know, just like with anything else, doing it in isolation is probably pretty tough. So if I'm just accountable to myself, I've gone through this whole process, I've gone through Freed Up, and I get to this point, I get to the spending plan, and I really don't tell anyone about it, then who else, who am I, when I fail, so to speak, I'm using air quotes, when I fail, who am I failing? Well, I'm failing myself. But if I talk to my spouse about it, or I talk to a friend, or maybe I'm in a group, maybe it's a small group from church, like maybe we're talking about this, there's a little bit of accountability in there that helps. You know, we have a, in our workbook, we have the spending plan that lays out the 10-10-80. So you've got a really, it's funny. You ask about the electronic version of things. The pen and paper thing works really well. I don't know if it's because I'm overwhelmed with all the stuff on my phone, right? Every day I'm getting stuff on my phone or my computer. So the pen and paper works well. We have an electronic version of the spending plan. And then there's tons of apps. I mean, Mint is great. Quicken has an option that's out there. You've got to look for stuff. And here's what I will say. Look for something that's free. Like, if you don't like what we've provided, look for something free. I would not be out there paying for something that you can really do already in a free form.
That's fantastic. And that's helpful. So really just going back to some of the basics, maybe it's pen and paper. So how do you, here's a question that maybe some of our audience will have. This won't apply to everyone, but talk about how you can train your kids to find the joy and the wisdom in spending, to not be hoarders or not be super goers in the sense that they have a hole in their pocket. How do you train kids to do that?
I'm chuckling because I have two kids personally that are 8 and 5. So the idea that they are just being aware that there's money is really helpful, but also for them to kind of go, well, go to that machine that gives you money. It's like, well, that machine doesn't give me money. There's an account that's tied to that machine, and that's called my bank account, and I have to work to put money in there. It's too far for them, right? So I think age appropriate is like the same thing. Like, encourage your kids to give something away, whether that is whether that's a toy that they want to give to someone in need of their own, not something they go buy necessarily that's new. Because I think it's easy for us to say, yeah, I'm going to buy something new and give that away on my kids' behalf. Like, something of theirs that they can give, or an allowance. If you do an allowance, give of their allowance and then make them save. You know, my kids, they each have a savings account, and that's been pretty cool for them to see their money grow over time. You know, sometimes it's a deposit of $2 and sometimes it's a deposit of $50. But they love to see that savings grow. And then, gosh, give them some freedom. How, I mean, we've talked about, you know, a little bit of shopping, what it looks like to just like have some time that you go shopping and feel good. Like, I'm just going to, you know, have some retail therapy. I think kids, you know, boy, girl, any age, enjoy a little bit of retail therapy. Give them some freedom. What is it that they want to choose? But allow them also to do some research. So our 8-year-old, she can work the internet. Kids are very internet savvy these days. She goes online and she researches her thing that she's into right now is slime. Don't bless the person that created slime. I don't know who that is, but don't bless them. So she's into slime. So she researches all of her ingredients that she needs for slime. And she says, now if I get, and we make her choose then. So you have some freedom. You get to choose out of these that you've researched. And then we will purchase those. And she's content because that freedom is good. You've got to give them a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah.
And also let them fail. Like, don't let them be, everything's going to turn out okay all the time. Like, let them fail at some of this and go, you've spent too much, or you can't have that now because we've already spent too much. I think it's good for them to hear that. It's good for them to hear no.
That is fantastic. That's practical. I think our audience today will understand that this does not have to carry baggage. This doesn't have to carry stress. So, Brooke, if you had to give our audience that last 10%, the one thing that if they've heard nothing else to walk away with, what would that be?
Spending doesn't look the same every month. I heard that a long time ago, right? So I've got this plan. It's going to be pretty darn perfect because I've looked at where every dollar is going to go. And then something happens. Something comes up. I'm going to readjust for the next month. And I'm going to have to readjust for the next month. Someone will say, when does that end? Well, it doesn't. Because the reality is, to be a faithful steward, it's a lifestyle for a lifetime. So realize that there's going to be new trade-offs. There's going to be new non-negotiables. There'll be times where you have to prioritize. So just have some flexibility, but also realize that all of this is coming from God and that He wants to be able to bless us in our lives. And so allow Him to do that and also allow Him give back to Him what He has provided to us.
That is amazing. Such good advice. Such good help. Brooke, thanks so much for being with us today. Man, it has been a blast to just learn about a topic that we all know and do, but kind of feels mysterious when it comes to how to do it well. So I think we provided some tools and just some stuff for our audience to think about. Man, thank you all so much for joining us for this episode of Freed Up. Next week, you are not going to want to miss. We are going to be talking about generosity. So maybe there's been some baggage around that and you don't know what's next, you don't know how to do that. We're going to learn that generosity may actually lead to the most freedom that you've ever had. So we've got something amazing planned and we don't want you to miss it. We'll see you next time.